I wanted to do something a little different this week. Last Sunday, we finished 1 John, and because Thanksgiving was just a few days ago, I want to take the opportunity to talk about giving thanks and praising the Lord, and to give some encouragement in a time that we need to be encouraged, in a time that we need to be thankful. Our text today is Psalm 100. And I have titled the message, Giving Thanks. Our hearts naturally praise the things we value. Thanksgiving, the giving of thanks, is a choice. We choose what we are thankful for, and we choose who we are thankful for. So look at this psalm today as it encourages us to give thanks every day to the Lord because He is God. And because He is good. So turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 100, a very, very familiar passage. I will read it for us. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. A psalm of thanksgiving. It gives us an invitation to the whole earth to know and to worship God. So first we're going to look at a call to praise, a call to praise the Lord. We'll look at this in verses 1 through 3, a call to praise. We are called and exhorted to praise the Lord. As you'll probably see in your Bible, the title of this psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. The psalmist begins with a call to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Since God is great and greatly to be praised, we are called to be boisterous, noisy as we worship. The word noise means a glad shout. In the context of the day, it would mean a shout. It would mean a shout loyal subjects might say when the king appears among them. The emphasis is being on gladness. Our loving God should be worshipped by a happy, glad people. A cheerful spirit is in keeping with His nature, His acts, and the gratitude which we should cherish for His mercies. Thankful singing should be anything but quiet. The psalm certainly gives an exhortation to be excited and vocal in worshiping God. We can be loud and excited when being with friends. We can be loud and excited when playing games. And once upon a time, when we could actually go to sporting events, we could be loud and excited at sporting events. Therefore, we have so much more to be excited about when we come to praise the Lord. The first verse ends with all the earth, the nations, the earth. We must recognize who the Lord is. He is Lord, by whose grace and blessings His people exist. The nations, too, are invited to sing hymns to the Lord and to worship Him. Serve the Lord with gladness. The whole earth is invited to serve the Lord. The psalmist could be talking about the service of worship or temple rituals, but the principle applies to any service directed to God. Those who serve the Lord should do it with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. It is your privilege and duty to be happy in your worship. The worship of the true God is intended to remove human misery and to make mankind happy. If the worship of Christ does not make you happy, you do not know or understand Christ. Spurgeon said this: "As for the true believer in Jesus, he serves his God because he loves to serve him. He assembles with the great congregation because it is his delight to worship the Most High. Serve the Lord is paralleled with coming into his presence, which is a reminder that an act of worship is well named a service. It is the first response we have to him. It is important to see the connection between service and worship. It will prevent us from making the mistake that worshiping is praying, singing, and meditating on Scripture in private. Praise and prayer are not meant to be done in private only. The purpose of worship is not to remove us from the world, but to prepare us to serve more effectively. We cannot separate service or serving others from the love of God. When we perform the works that Jesus has commanded, we are worshiping him. Come into his presence with singing. As in many places in the Psalms, praise is expressed in song. Singing is not the only way to praise God, but it is the most common way to praise him. We sing. We see the excitement of deliverance that we have experienced. That being forgiven has not only delivered us from hell, it has given us a sonship with God the Father. John Piper, in his book, Don't Waste Your Life, said this: "A free and clear conscience enables us to see more of God, to enjoy him." The term formal worship, as would happen when the Israelites came to Jerusalem and to the temple. Silent belief is not enough. The vocal, joyful praise, profession of our faith, our helping others, and our worship are all necessary parts of our Christian walk. We can, of course, worship God at home and whilst driving in our car or walking down the road, but we are equally called to come to a formal gathering of God's people. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. To know is to have confidence. As we talked about last week, the confidence that we can have that we've learned from 1 John. This confidence is the prerequisite of praise. This confidence, this knowledge is a gift. This revelation that our thanksgiving and praise towards God need to be intelligent. We must know who we are thinking, we are thankful and praising. The prayer comes to God from his people, and all the earth should be mindful. We have many reasons to worship, and many reasons begin with the recognition that he is God. The next reason to worship God is an appropriate recognition of his work as creator. We should worship the one who has made us. What's about this verse is the connection between knowing God as creator and knowing ourselves as his creatures. Knowing God and knowing ourselves always go together. We must take the time to learn about him so we can grow in our knowledge of him and in our potential, in our purpose, in our Christian walk. Abide in him and abide in his word, as we heard throughout 1 John. What happens to us when we do not know God as creator? We believe that we are our own creators. We justify this scientifically. This is what lies behind the appeal of evolution. A teaching that has very little, if any, true evidence to support it. It takes as much faith to believe in evolution than it takes to believe in God. This appeal of evolution is that it does away with the need for God, and that appeals to the world, to the people that are against God. Evolution will explain how things come to be without any divine creation, without any divine creative power. So naturally, if they do not need God as creator, then they do not need to praise him or be thankful to him. We see in Romans chapter 1, Paul notes that the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, when they stopped being thankful to the Creator, ingratitude led to idle and futile speculations. Such futile speculations about the world without a Creator. Look with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verses 18 through 23. Romans 1, 18 through 23. And that says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things." We see specifically in verse 21 that for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. We can see how vitally important it is to know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We praise him, for we know that he is God, and we know that he is our creator, not just our creator, but the creator of the heavens and the earth, the visible and invisible. We praise him for this and so much more. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture, the verse goes on. We worship and praise God because we are his people. We are born of God, the children of God. We talked about this extensively in 1 John. He cares for his people as the sheep of his pasture. It is God who made us, not ourselves. And if we are his because he made us, then we are his to do as he seems best for him. His best is far better than man's best. Man's best often turns out to be much, much worse. We have looked at the call to praise the Lord in the first three verses. Now we will look at a call to thank the Lord in verses 4 and 5. A call to thank the Lord. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Enter his gates with thanksgiving. The psalmist pictures the people of God from all the earth entering in the gates and into the courts. As God's people approach, we must do so with thanksgiving, recognizing how much God has done for us. We publicly thank God. And when we come to pray, we are thankful we have such a privilege to enter his gates and give thanks, and we praise him. Into his courts with praise, thanksgiving and praise merge together as God's people are thankful and bless his name. This emphasis on public worship is equally seen in verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. This teaches that there is a special aspect of thanksgiving that involves all the people of God together, not just private prayers of individuals. For when God calls us to Christ, he did not call us in isolation, but to be his people together, participating in a common inheritance. Moreover, we should experience responsibility towards our brothers and sisters in Christ by encouraging a thankful response in them towards God. How do we thank God? One way is by inviting others to join in that thanksgiving. We see this in verse 1, where it talks about all the earth. It is an invitation to all people of all the world to be thankful and praise God. We have the ability to serve him through the power and the grace he graciously gives to us. So we give thanks to him and we praise his name. We come with thanksgiving because of verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his thankfulness to all generations. The final verse of Psalm 100 is like verse 3, explains why we should thank God, but is not just a repetition of verse 3. The third verse says that we should thank God because of what he has done. He has both made and remade us. He is both our creator and redeemer. The final verse invites us to thank God because of who he is. It tells us three things about him. First, the Lord is good. Second, his steadfast love endures forever. And third, his faithfulness is to all generations. For the Lord is good. The gods created by the heathens were not good. They were selfish. You could never know when they might turn against you and do you harm. Not so with the one true God. The God of the Bible is and has always been good. We know this. We see this in our everyday lives. We also saw this in James. James 1, verse 17, and that says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. For the Lord is good. We know this. We see this. We live this. Thanksgiving and praise are right. They are right in recognition of God's goodness. He is good in his plans, good in his grace, good in his forgiveness, and good in every aspect of his being. I would like to pause here for a minute and talk about the goodness, the steadfast love, and the faithfulness of God. I know this is trying times for everyone. This year, 2020, is not a year any of us will soon forget. We want to forget it, but it will not be easy. It has been harder on some than others. Even in our own congregation, some have been affected more than others. What is hard during this time specifically is that no one, not one of us, has ever lived through or gone through something like this. The worldwide pandemic that not only shut down our country, but shut down the world. And sadly enough, looks like we could be going back in that direction. We have been introduced to new terms like social distancing and the new normal. We miss and we pray for the day that things will be back to normal again. Now, when we talk about the good old days, we'll talk about 2019. Never going through something like this before makes it hard because we don't know how it is going to end. We don't know when it is going to end, and we don't know what is going to happen before it ends. Yes, as people, we are struggling with COVID. Also, what we have to remember during this time as well is that besides COVID, we are still living in a fallen, sinful world. And just because COVID is here, that doesn't mean that other struggles and other temptations have stopped. I would say that things are magnified because of COVID. There could be someone who is facing job loss, which normally is hard and a tough time, but in time of COVID, when there is large job loss, it could seem impossible to find a new job. Or someone with health concerns and problems, or a loved one with health concerns and problems that before might not have been that bad or that difficult, but now it is compounded with COVID and even a lack of access to health care due to COVID. I could go on and on. The list is staggering of the trials and the temptations we face on a daily and a weekly basis without something like COVID. Then COVID just adds to it. What should we do when we find ourselves in a situation that we have never been in before, that no one alive has ever been in before? Do we give up? Do we give in to fear and anxiety? Do we close ourselves off and blame society for all of our problems? Do we give in to temptation? And do we start to believe the lie of the devil and start to think that God is not good to his people? Or do we make a joyful noise? Do we make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth? Do we give thanks to a holy and good God? For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. We know the Lord is good. I can look back over my life, and I can say with full confidence that the Lord is good. We talked about it in 1 John, that as you love and as your obedience grows, your faith in Christ will grow. One of the best ways for your faith and your trust in someone to grow is through knowing that person. I have been able to get to know Peter a lot over the years. We have been here. He is humble. He is faithful. He is committed to the ministry here at Grace. And because of the time we have spent together over the years, I trust him. But as much as I trust Peter, I trust Elisa even more. Why is that? Well, first, she is my wife. I know her. And I have had experiences with her that has made and built that trust in her. That comes from knowing. If we want to be able to know, if we want to be able to have faith in God the way that we should, we have to know him. And one of the best ways to know him is through his word. We learn this in 1 John when John said to abide in his word. I would like to look at a few verses that will help us know the good Lord we serve so we can praise him all the time. No matter what is happening around us, we can praise him. Our first verse is 1 Chronicles. I'll read them to you. You don't have to turn there. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. I hope we all remember what John said in 1 John about the love of God. He said, he is love. It is not that love is an attribute of God, but he is love. So whatever he is doing, is done in love. He protects us in love. He watches over us in love. He rules us in love. And yes, he judges us in love. Whatever it is in love. So yes, his steadfast love endures forever. We give praise and thanksgiving to a God whose steadfast love endures forever. The circumstances in our life does not change the fact that his steadfast love endures forever. The trials or the temptations that are going on in our life right now does not change the fact that his steadfast love endures forever. The anxiety and worry in our life does not change the fact that his steadfast love endures forever. No situation or circumstance can change the steadfast love of God. So we praise him and we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Nahum 1 and verse 7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him." Yes, his steadfast love endures forever, but he is also a stronghold, a place of refuge for his children. Emmy, when she is upset or gets hurt, she always says she wants to go home. Home is her safe place. It is her refuge, her stronghold. What is your safe place? What is your place of refuge? Is it your home? Perhaps your family? Or is your stronghold the Lord? For the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. In 2020, you can say we are in trouble. We are in the middle of trouble and unrest right now. So turn to God. Turn to the Lord who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever, and who is a stronghold, a refuge in the day of trouble. We give thanks and we praise, for he is our stronghold, our refuge in trouble, our refuge in 2020. And then Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Again, in this passage, we see the steadfast love that is never changing. We also see that the Lord is gracious and merciful. We praise him for his great mercy he bestows on us every day. Yes, today might be harder than yesterday was. Yes, 2020 is certainly harder than 2019 was. That does not change the fact that the Lord is good and that his steadfast love never changes. And his gracious mercy is given to us every day to face the challenges that day might give us. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 tell us this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So we do not fear. We do not worry. No, instead we praise. We praise him. We enter his gates with thanksgiving for all that he has done and will do in our life. You might be sitting here saying, "I believe in everything that you're saying. I know he is gracious and merciful to us. I know he is good. I know his steadfast love endures forever." But it is hard not to be fearful. Psalm 27 and verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We see he is our stronghold, as we've talked about. If he is our stronghold, if he is our refuge, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The answer is no one. I do not need to fear. I do not need to be afraid, because the Lord is my salvation and my stronghold. If you have taken that first step of faith at salvation, and you have put your faith and trust in him, and now you abide in him and he abides in you, you do not have to fear. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8 says. He is with you. Do not fear. The last passage I want to look at is Romans 8, verses 37 through 39. Romans 8, 37 through 39. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. No matter what this world tries to throw at us, the things that are present or the things to come, or anything else in all creation, nothing can separate us from the love of God. For we are conquerors only through him who loves us. No, we do not need to fear. We do not need to give in to worry or anxiety for the things that are happening right now, for the things to come. We give into praise. We give into thanksgiving to the Lord, who is good. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is why we have the confidence to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. This is why we give thanks to him and bless his name. No, we do not give in to fear. No, we do not give in to worry. Yes, we give in to praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever, and whose faithfulness is to all generations. As I was working on this message this week, I had Getty music playing in the background, and the song "He Will Hold Me Fast" came on, and I stopped what I was doing and I listened to the words. I've heard it before, but it stood out because it's exactly what we were talking about. The words of the song were so fitting. I want to close with reading you the words to the song by Keith Getty, "He Will Hold Me Fast." When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold, he must hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight, Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost, his promises shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. For my life, he bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight when he comes at last. And then the chorus says, he will hold me fast, he will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.